hello and welcome to a brand new year at the Ted and Austin Brower Show. Welcome to 2020. I hope everyone had an absolutely wonderful night last night. It is a new decade, new year, very exciting time. Health Masters down here is busy and getting stuff rolling. I found out this morning, though, that the post office will not even be open at all to accept my packages, which I was a little frustrated about. I have a pretty good deal with a lot of them. A lot of times on holidays, they'll be open till like noon, and, you know, as far as internally, not, you know, to the public, I can go in there and drop boxes off. And we went over there this morning, and they are padlocked up. Nobody is accepting anything. So we're packing boxes. They are prepped, but they will not be going out till tomorrow. Just wanted to give a heads up on that. And other than that, Dad, how are you doing today?
Oh, blessed, highly favored, shaking down, running over. Beautiful day today. No chemtrails. It's really kind of the first good day we've had here in about 3 weeks. So it is New Year's Day. It is 10 a.m. on Eastern Standard Time, and we are live on New Year's Day. And this is not a tape. And people are always saying, are you really going to work on New Year's Day? And I'm like, well, why would I not work the first day of the year? It's a good day to start. It really is.
Yep.
So we're here, and our staff is here. So we're really excited to be here to serve you. So our telephones are working, and we're here in the office working. Now, I have a really good friend out of Texas. His name's Randy, and he sent me an email yesterday, and he was talking to me about pork. And I want to start this off as a health show for the first couple of minutes this morning, because this is really important that I do this. I've discussed the eating of pork many, many times from a biblical standpoint and from a health standpoint. And for some reason, I guess we have, and I know what the reason is, we have so many new listeners coming in all of the time and tuning in our show, and they've been brainwashed by the pork manufacturers thinking it's the other white meat, it's the other healthy meat, and basically it's the meat that we should eat. And then we have a lot of preachers in the pulpit who go in and they say things like, you know, hey, pray over it, eat whatever you want to eat. We're not under the Old Testament laws anymore. We're under a new covenant, and that's true. And, you know, they say you can eat as much pork as you want, it doesn't make any difference with your health. That's not true, but it doesn't make any difference with your salvation. That is true. Now, what does that mean? That means that you can pretty much eat all the pork you want to eat, get to heaven as quick as you want to get there with trichina in your body before you leave the planet, and basically be sick as a dog and die of heart disease, diabetes, or cancer by the time you're 30, 40, or 50 years old. Yeah, I just said all that in one breath. So you can eat pork if you want to eat pork, but the World Health Organization has said it's the primary cause of cancer globally. So let me ask you another question. If God was very clear in the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, telling you, but there are certain foods that cause cancer, heart disease, and diabetes, etc., why in the world would you want to do that? I mean, think about that for a second. Well, let's step through this from a scriptural standpoint, first of all. First of all, we have to realize that in satanic ceremonies, they eat pork, along with other things, including human flesh, which is pretty sick, but they do. But it's one of their delicacies during satanic services. And this is something that the evil one has wanted them to do. Remember when Jesus was casting the demons out of the one man, and he was going to, and they said, don't cast us into the pit, you know, so he cast them into the swine, and these swine, there were thousands of them, rushed down a steep bank and they killed themselves. The pigs committed suicide because they don't want these demons in them, or whatever caused the pigs to commit suicide. I'm not getting into a theological debate with you on that. The pigs are dead. Just leave it at that. You know, we have to deal with dead pigs in the water. You got to pull them out. In fact, I was in Israel in that area where those pigs rush down the steep bank. So what we have to do is ask ourselves a question, you know, what in the world's going on? Why is this happening? You know, why do people continue to want to do this? You know, I've told you guys many, many times that, you know, the world is under the control of Lucifer. Remember when Jesus went up to the temple and Lucifer showed him all of these different kingdoms, said, if you would bow down and worship me, I will give you all of these things. They were his to give, because Adam and Eve in the garden basically gave the world over to Lucifer when they listened to him, and they stepped away from God and they went to the evil one. And all of this stuff is still progressing through the Kabbalah. It's the same thing. Remember, their symbology is the snake in the tree. You know, this is what we've talked about so many times that nobody else wants to discuss on their shows, but this is the stuff that they believe. Now, I think, well, where does it say that in the Bible? Well, let's turn to 1 John. Let's turn to 1 John 5. Let's turn to 1 John 5, verse 18. We know that anyone born of God does not continue to sin. The one who was born of God keeps him safe, and the evil one does not touch him. We talked about this when we talked about the blood of Christ. Repeat that. The evil one does not touch him. We know that we are children of God, and that the whole world is under the control of the evil one. Did you hear what I just said? The Bible's telling you that the whole world is under control of the evil one. We know also the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true through the Holy Spirit, even as the Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. This is why I say to you, through the blood of Jesus, we are sanctified, and our DNA is continually renewed. And Satan runs about as a roaring lion seeking those who may devour. But he may not devour us. I talked about this on the Christmas show. Because we're sanctified by the blood of the Lamb. It says right here, we know that we are children of God and that the whole world is under the control of the evil one. We know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding that so we will may know him who is true. Okay? It is so important that we understand that. We know that anyone born of God does not continue to sin. The one who is born of God keeps him safe. God keeps him safe. And the evil one does not touch him. This is why I'm going to say something to you guys here. I'm going to get on a little tear for just a second. I mentioned this last week, and I'm going to say it again. You got to stop speaking that you're under attack. That stuff has to stop. Talking to other people are under attack. Don't tell me that I'm not under attack because I don't believe you. I don't receive it. He may not touch us. Now, people make stupid mistakes, including moi here. I mean, we've all made dumb mistakes. We've all said things and done things we shouldn't have ought to done that cause a cascading series of events that happen around us that can cause us to have issues. But when you're born again, these mistakes primarily, now we'll say primarily, are coming from mistakes that you make. Now, what you don't want to do is start speaking that you got somebody like Lucifer attacking you or the devil or demons attacking you. Why would you speak that? Why would you speak that? You got a carnal mind you got to deal with anyhow. That's going to have a problem regardless because you're dealing with the flesh. But you're not going to be under attack because you're covered by the blood of Jesus. It isn't going to happen. One time I had a man who wanted to pray all these attacks over me, and I stopped him twice right in the middle of his prayer, and I said to him twice, I do not receive that. I do not receive it. I'm not gonna listen to that. Because I mean, why would you accept that? Why would you allow them to say something over you and you're gonna amen them? You don't want to do that. Now, here's a couple more things. Here's 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. You dear children are from God, and we have overcome them. Because the one who is in you is greater than the one who's in this world. I mean, it's telling you right there, we've already overcome. When Calvary was fought, when Jesus Christ hung on that cross, he took everything that we were ever going to do for all time space because he's eternal and he's omnipresent. That's why he's an eternal sacrifice for us. And he said, it is finished. It was finished. The problem we have, the thing we've got to deal with, is that we're not of this world. I just told you that. We're passing through, like in that movie Riddick. Are you a convict or are you going to be an inmate? He goes, I'm neither. I'm just passing through. That's all we're doing is passing through. That's all we're doing. And we're trying to do our best to bring honor and glory to God while we are here. But once you accept Jesus Christ, and once you are born again, the evil one does not touch you. Now, again, you could have other people that have demonic possessions, and they're hassling you or whatever. But that's not a direct attack on you. Or you could have decisions that you've made that you're having to deal with. Let's say before you got saved, you had a bunch of girlfriends, and you got a bunch of kids from a bunch of different girlfriends. And these girlfriends have all filed for child support. Okay, that's not an attack of the devil. You got to understand that. All right, that's basically the court system saying you got to pay for the kid. So you can't blame all that on God and say, I'm being attacked. No, you're not. You made some bad choices. And apparently somebody didn't have the contraception talk with you when you were a kid, and you made some choices that now are affecting you for the rest of your life. Okay. Or all I've done is eat pork my whole life, you say, and now you have all of these diseases, and you say, I'm being attacked by the devil. No, God's not attacking you. The devil's not attacking you. You've made choices. If you're 100 pounds overweight and you feel absolutely awful and you keep chowing down every night on stuff that you know is poisonous for you, why is it that the devil is attacking you? Why is that? I mean, let me ask you a question. I mean, you're being attacked by the devil because you don't want to discipline yourself as far as what you're eating. The root word of disciple is discipline. And he's saying, well, Ted, do you eat perfect all the time? Absolutely not. You know, every once in a while I'll have a cup of coffee. But after 2 or 3 days of drinking a cup of coffee, I start feeling really lousy. Every once in a while I may eat, you know, some chocolate. I try to eat the 85 or 80% stuff that we have at the office, which is really pretty good for you, as long as you do it in moderation. But I'll try to do those types of things that are relatively healthy. And every once in a while I may eat a donut, okay, or cookie, okay, or whatever, or go out with a friend and may have a beer, which is not illegal in God's eyes. I just don't get drunk. I may do something like that. And so if you ever see me out having a cup of coffee, do me a favor. Don't walk up to me and rag me about the coffee. I don't want to listen to it. And I may say something back to you that's ugly. And I don't want to say something ugly because I love you guys. But just leave me alone. I mean, now, if you see me out in a bar and I'm drunk, which you'll never see, you're more than welcome to come up to me and talk to me. But you're going to be talking to the wrong person because it ain't going to be me. I just thought I'd mention that. So think about what you're doing and think about how we're affecting other people. So now let's talk about Timothy. And this is the book of the Bible that is really interesting. I enjoy Timothy. He was basically a young believer, and Paul was giving him instructions. Now, I want to share something with you. When the book of Timothy was written, when the Bible refers to – the book of Timothy was a letter written to Timothy. And when the Bible refers to the Word of God in the letter written to Timothy, it's not referring to the New Testament because it had not been put together yet. It was referring to the Torah, the five first books of Levitical law, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, also known as the Pentateuch, the books given to Moses when he's on the mountain by God. The Word of God itself, the Torah, which is something that a lot of denominations have stopped using. Okay, they've gone out to their own teachings and other things they do. But it says in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, the Spirit, which is the Spirit of the Holy Spirit, clearly says that in latter times some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Well, number one, anything taught in the Torah is not something taught by demons, it's taught by God. Number one, you got to get that right. Such teachings come through hypocritical liars whose conscience has been seared as with a hot iron. They forbid people to marry, and they order them to abstain from certain foods. Now, the foods, if you look that up in the Greek, means broma. That means foods that have been sanctified according to Levitical law. So let's insert the definition in that sentence. They forbid people to marry. They order them to abstain from certain foods which have been sanctified according to Levitical law, okay, which is the Torah, which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received by thanksgiving, because it is consecrated by the Word of God or the Torah in prayer. Now, okay, now let's stop for a second. What did it just say? It just said that everything is to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth, because it is consecrated by the Word of God, the Torah, and prayer. Okay, and it also says the word broma means sanctified according to Levitical law, which is also the word they use in King James for meats. So it's saying, hey, look, here's the deal. You can have people coming out in the later days, and they're going to tell you that beef's not okay. Well, that's not cool. Beef's okay because it's sanctified by the Word of God. Now, I'm paraphrasing all this. And they're going to say that, you know, salmon's not good. Well, salmon's okay, too. It's sanctified by the Word of God. So they're going to tell you all of these things are going to be bad for you, and they're lying. Their conscience has been seared as hypocritical liars. This is what it's talking about. It's not talking about not being obedient to the Levitical laws. It's talking about how people are going to say that you could break the Levitical laws and do all these other things. Now, you say, well, that's kind of opposite of what I was taught. Then you say, well, wow, wait a minute, Ted, wait a minute. You had Peter's vision in Acts. And Peter's vision basically means that all of the foods could be eaten now. Let's go to Peter's vision. This is Acts chapter 10, verse 9. About noon the following day, as they were approaching the city, Peter went up on the roof to pray, and he became hungry, and he wanted something to eat. And while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance, and he saw heaven open, and he saw something like a large sheet being let down to earth by its four corners. It contained all kinds of four-footed animals, as well as reptiles, which are unclean, and birds of the air and the earth, and a voice said, Peter, get up, kill and eat. And she had, remember now, Peter's a Jew. This is after the ascension of Jesus Christ. This is Acts. And Peter says, surely not I, Lord, Peter replied. I've never eaten anything impure or unclean. Right? He's saying, wait a minute, not I, Lord, because I know the scripture can't be broken. Why am I having this vision?
voice came to him a second time. Do not call anything impure that God has made clean. This happened three times, and immediately the sheep was taken back in heaven. Now, in verse 17, it says, Peter was still wondering about the meaning of this vision because he knew better. I'm going to paraphrase this. Because he knew the word can't be broken, and the word of God's the same yesterday, today, and ever. He saw Jesus send his doggone demons into the pigs. He's like in a quandary now. He knows that hogs are down in the pit outside of Jerusalem, and they're eating the sewage and the refuse and the human waste and all the garbage out of the city of Jerusalem. Thinking, man, this doesn't make any sense. Because God said, don't do this stuff. And now this vision. So he's wondering about it. He still doesn't have an interpretation. He's wondering about the meaning of the vision. And the men sent by Cornelius found where Simon's house was and stopped by the gate. And they called out, asking Simon, who was known as Peter, for staying there. And while Peter was still thinking, he's still thinking about vision. He's thinking about his vision. The Spirit said to them, Simon, there are three men looking for you. So set up and go downstairs. Do not hesitate and go with them. Now, in verse 27, he finally gets an interpretation to the vision. He finally understands it. Talking to him, Peter went inside, found a large gathering of people, and he said to them, you are well aware that it's against our law for a Jew to associate with a Gentile or visit him. But God has shown me that I should not call any man impure or unclean. He didn't say anything about pigs or hogs or reptiles. He said, any man impure or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without raising any objection. Then verse 34 says, then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts men from every nation who fear him and who do what is right. The vision was given to Peter to bring the Gentile believers into the body of Christ. Because remember, before this vision was given to Peter, the Gentile believers would have to convert to Judaism, to convert to Christianity. It was a strange way of doing things. It also talks about in Acts chapter 15. He says that there were four things required for a Gentile believer to do who are turning to God: avoid the meat sacrificed to animals, avoid the meat sacrificed to idols, avoid the meat of strangled animals, avoid blood, and avoid sexual immorality. So he makes it even easier at that point. So that's why I said at the beginning of the show, if you're going to eat pork, you're not going to go to hell if you're a believer. But the question is, why would you want to do that? Because you know that it doesn't please God. You know that it doesn't make God happy when you eat pork. You know that it's not a good thing to do. I'll read another verse from you out of 1 John. It says, dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us because we have confidence before God, this is verse 21, and we receive anything we ask because we obey his commands and we do what pleases him. Now, wait a minute. Let me ask you a question. Does it please God for you to eat pork? Just because you can doesn't mean you should. The Bible says, it says that should you continue to sin so that grace may increase. Remember, to a Jew, eating pork was a sin. And that's the part because it was breaking one of the Levitical guidelines. And so it's so important that we understand that if we're going to please, we need to please God and we know what we can please, what pleases him. It also says in 1 John chapter 2, 31, it says, I'm sorry, my study Bible is so written up that I've got notes all over it, so sometimes I can't read the headers on it. 1 John chapter 2, verse 3, we know that we have come to know him if we obey his commands. Again, this is the Torah. The man who says, I know him, but does not do what he commands is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But if anyone obeys his word, God's love is truly made complete in him. This is how we know him. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus walked, as Jesus did. Did Jesus eat pork? No. That's a rhetorical question. He's Jewish. He's a rabbi. All right? He didn't eat pork. He couldn't have eaten pork. Had he eaten pork, he would have broken a commandment. He would have sinned, and he could not have been our sacrifice on the cross. He couldn't have done it. His life was sinless. He obeyed the word of the letter of the law. And so we have to ask ourselves a question. Why do we want to follow the teachings of preachers who say it's okay to do all this stuff? Well, the biggest reason this happens is this. They get into a group of people who basically eat a lot of pork, and these people are members of the church. And the people basically are tithing. And so they don't want to rock the boat and bring these scriptures that I just gave you. They don't want to do it. They're like, well, we're just going to leave it be because it's Old Testament. We're not going to get into it. We're not going to teach. But here's the problem. They're scared, and this is the truth. Let me tell you this, guy. For a lot of these guys, not all of them, some of them are just ignorant. But a lot of them are this. There's certain percentage of people in churches who basically are required to be there in order to pay the bills. And if these people get mad and leave because somebody just told them not to eat pork, oh my gosh, now they can't make the budget anymore. And preachers have to be able to make budgets and pay their own salary. And so what they do, they follow what these people want to do. They don't criticize what they do, and they basically allow them to do whatever they want to do. And they're not good shepherds, you know. And then again, there's the ignorant part of the preachers who don't know any better, who were raised that pork's okay, pork is healthy, pork's the other white meat, et cetera, et cetera. They never bothered to examine the scripture. So you got both sets of this going on all of the time. So that's why the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteous peace and joy to the filling of the Holy Spirit. Be aware of all of these guidelines. Be aware of all of the things, but also be aware of the fact that we're under grace through faith, through the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. Not that we're supposed to walk out and do things that we're not supposed to do, but that grace is there and it's sufficient for us if we do stuff, stumble and do stuff, something wrong. That's why, you know, I always ask God when I pray, and I prayed for you guys today for the new year, but I always ask God to, you know, forgive me for anything I've said or done or thought or whatever, you know, the day before, since I prayed last time, because I'm quick to confess my sins unto the Lord. And Sharon, when she prays me, she prays the same thing. Because, you know, we all do things and say things and think things that we should not do. It's just part of being a human being in a carnal body. But the reality is, because we're filled with the Holy Spirit and because we're sanctified by the blood of the Lamb, God doesn't see our sin. He only sees Jesus when he sees us. He sees the righteousness of Christ. That's why our sins are forgiven as far as the east is from the west. I mean, he literally, it goes into God's seal for forgetfulness, and he just doesn't even pay any attention to it, doesn't remember it, because it's not part of us anymore, because we're set aside, we're sanctified. So that's the thing we need to understand. See, that's the good news. I mean, this whole thing's been about preaching today. That's okay, because I like that for the first of the year. But also, let me just, one more thing. Isaiah chapter 66, the prophet Isaiah, you know, he's getting upset with people who are basically practicing satanic religions. And he says, those who consecrate themselves and purify themselves, who go into the gardens, following the one in the midst of those who eat the flesh of pigs and rats and other abominable things, they will meet their end together, declareth the Lord. This is why Peter, when he saw that sheep being let down, he goes, wait a minute, surely not I, Lord. I have never eaten anything impure or unclean. Now, because he knew the book of Isaiah. You know, Jesus is quoting out of Isaiah when he's walking around talking to Peter and the gang. So, you know, Peter's thinking myself, Peter's thinking, you know, I know what the book of Isaiah says. You know, and it's basically, it's not okay to eat this stuff. And see, that's the thing you got to understand. So if you go to somebody's house, and they say, you know, would you like to have some pork? My response is always, no, thank you. I don't eat pork. That's always my response. And if they invite us over for dinner, they say, what would you like? And I say, just anything organic, chicken or beef or wild salmon. I'm good with any of that, orange, ruffed, grouper, red snapper. You know, that's all fine. And they're like, oh, okay, I thought we couldn't find anything for you to eat. You eat a lot of stuff. I said, oh, yeah, I eat a lot of stuff. But I just don't eat pork. I think, well, Ted, that seems good. Well, do I really want trichinosis? Let's just be real here from a scientific standpoint. If we know the number one cause of cancer globally is pork, according to the World Health Organization, they finally tell us the truth on one thing there. And you know, we know that. And we know that it could have trichina larvae in it, which means it has, like, parasites in it. And we have to make sure it's cooked really, really well, like, to the point of being, like, crispy, like, burned to kill these parasites, because they're like, this guy, they had a casing around them. And then you still eat them, and you still didn't kill the pork parasites. Now you end up with trichina larvae. Was that really worth that? Was it really worth getting parasites in muscle tissue to cause all these problems with you because you happen to want to not offend someone? Isn't it easier just to ask them to start with, hey, I don't eat pork? You know, I can't tell you how many times we've been in restaurants, and you know, I've said, they said, oh, our special today is, you know, pork loin. I'm like, I don't eat pork. Oh, we also have crabs. Don't eat shellfish. And they're like, oh, what do you eat? I said, how about a steak? Okay, it's not difficult. How about a steak? How about a center cut? How about something, you know, like that? How about some beef ribs instead of pork ribs? Beef ribs are okay. How about something healthy to eat that still tastes great? And see, just discipline yourself that way and learn how to eat the right kind of foods. And if you do that, you're going to find yourself a lot healthier in the new year. And then throw some multiple vitamins in on top of it, or powdered multiple or multiple capsules, and just do the things that you know to do, and do the best you possibly can, and leave the rest up to God. Because he's going to take care of you. I mean, he's going to He's gonna be when you change your life and you change your attitude and you live like this and you realize that you're not of this world anymore, you don't want to hang out with people who tell dirty jokes. You don't want to talk ugly. You don't want to do all those things. Now, am I saying that I'm like perfect? Absolutely not. You know, I mean, you know, there are some days we all have to deal with people that are difficult. And sometimes we may say something probably we shouldn't ought to say. But that's okay. At least you know you weren't supposed to do that. At least you have enough sense to know that you've been sanctified by the blood of the Lamb and that Jesus wants you to do better than that. And that's all he asks of us. We don't have to be perfect. He did that for us. We just have to do the best we can. That's all walking as a Christian is supposed to be. So if you have a weird value, like you're pro-abortion and you claim to be a Christian, that's kind of an oxymoron. Those are mutually exclusive items. Pro-gay, pro-homosexuality, and you're thinking that's a great lifestyle, or that's like really not something the Word of God teaches, so you really don't want to believe that way. Now, do you want to be tolerant of those people and pray for them and pray they become Christians and change that lifestyle? Yes. You know, it's like we've told you guys 100 times. If they want to do that stuff, you know, that's not my issue with them. I don't approve of it. I don't think it's right, but I'm not going to sit there and start yelling and screaming and hollering and carrying on about it. I'm just going to pray that God convicts them and they stop doing that. But I don't want them to try to force that mess on me or my lifestyle or my children or my family. That's where I take the line. I say, no, I can do this. So just walk in love. And as far as other people, just do the best to let them do what they're going to do. Try to guide them and lead them to the best of your ability. And realize it's not by power. It's not by might. It's by my Spirit, saith the Lord. And that's what we need to do. That's how the Christian church conquered the Holy Roman, or it wasn't the Holy at that point, the Roman Empire. It's how Christianity overcame, after several centuries, the most powerful army in the world. It wasn't because we built armies to go fight and to try to kill the Romans. It's because we basically loved them. And we taught them who Jesus was. We taught them to walk as Jesus walked. Well, also, that's my opening statement, and a Happy New Year to you guys. So what's your first story, bud?
Happy New Year, bud. And also, too, in touching base on that, a lot of people get in arguments with me, too, before when I've gone places, and I tell them that I don't eat that. And most people respect it. Some people, you know, still have the comments to say, and they say, well, if it's farm-raised swine, you know, if it's pigs that are raised at basically a farm, you know, they're eating good food, which, I mean, I don't know why you give good food to pigs in general as they're scavengers. You know, it's a cleaner meat to eat. And my response is, well, if you go to a vulture farm and you have farm-raised vulture, does that sound good to you too? Does that make it not a vulture anymore? The answer is no. It's still a vulture. It's still a scavenger. It still does what it's designed to do. Is it going to be as harmful to you? Probably not. Can you eat it and not get sick? Probably. Do you really want to? I don't. Same thing with shellfish. I mean, with the lobsters, the crabs, the oysters, all that stuff. They're bottom feeders. They're scavengers. They're designed to be nocturnal bottom walkers that scavenge dead animals, debris, and feces off the bottom of the ocean. It's what they do. And so, I mean, when you know there's specific animals that God designed to have specific skill sets to keep the ocean, keeps the ground, so forth, clean, do you really want to eat them? I don't. That's why I always tell people all the time, and people know, usually shellfish, lobster, crab, that whole category, and hog. That's usually the main thing that I'm always very vocal about. This is not, I'm not going to eat it, like Dad said. It's just not something that's beneficial. Also, too, in other news, this is something that's, you know, very interesting to me. As Virginia's becoming such a hot button for so many things right now all at once, it appears that whether you want to call it the deep state or the bankers or the hardcore communist Democrats that are on the left, they are really trying to do everything they can to just throw a barrage of punches at the Virginia populace right now. We already know what's going on with the firearms. I'm not getting into that. This is a whole other topic. We're finding out now that back on December 8, 2019, Senator Barbara Favola actually pre-filed SB 104. Now, what's SB 104? I'm glad you asked. It is an amendment and reenacts 541-2969 of the Virginia Code relating to vaccines and immunizations on minors and authority to consent. This is really creepy. the bill, if passed, which is already pre-filed, and they have all these bills that are ready to go, I think whatever it is, January 6th, whatever the session starts, January 7th, they're ready to hit it full tilt. What it does is it allows doctors or any medical workers to administer vaccines that are recommended by the CDC to a minor child of any age after obtaining consent of the minor child only, and by making a determination that the child has the ability to understand the risks and benefits associated with the vaccine. What this is stating is, if this bill goes into law, any child of any age at any point in time can be vaccinated and coerced into being vaccinated without any parental consent whatsoever. This is beyond egregious to me, and it goes against numerous laws, and it goes numerous precedents that have been set forth by the U.S. Supreme Court that go against, that go along the nation, some of the longest standing principles that parents have a fundamental right to raise their children without undue adverse interference by the state. And, you know, giving doctors and medical workers the power to treat minor children as adults, who would be given the authority to make their own major health decisions, contrary to legal recognition, that the state has the right to essentially remove parental consent. This is beyond me, the fact that they even think this is okay. And I mean, legally making a minor child an adult simply for the purpose of denying the child's parents or legal guardian access to the child's medical records that contain information is beyond egregious and unconstitutional. And it's ironic to me to see them do these things in the areas that they want. For example, as I told you guys yesterday, it's interesting to see the FDA come in and raise the age of tobacco users to 21 overnight without any type of grandfathering in, because it's for everybody's health, right? It's for your safety. We're doing it for the kids' safety. They got to be 21 now to buy this. But now we're saying we're going to make a minor an actual adult that's consenting as an adult simply for the purpose of increasing the vaccine rate in the population. This is not coincidental that this is being introduced into Virginia. This has been tried in numerous states in the past, and it's failed almost miserably every single time. However, there's a high probability that they're going to try to pass these bills one after another after another. They already have an assault weapons bill on deck. They already have basically a magazine ban on deck. They already have multiple other gun laws all in place, already pre-filed since the beginning of December, and now we're finding out that they have this other one, this SB 104. So I encourage any of our Virginia listeners, anybody that has family in Virginia, if you love the rights and the freedoms that we have in the United States, and simply the ability to consent and the ability to parent your children, you need to contact your local representatives, because this needs to be dead when it hits the floor. This cannot go through, because if it does go through, it is going to set a massive precedent for the rest of the entire country and the ability of the state to remove the parental guardian or parental rights from a child and allow this child to consent like an adult simply so they can inject them with vaccines. Remember, in this bill, it says to administer any vaccines recommended by the CDC. Any, which means the whole laundry list that the CDC recommends, including HPV, could now be administered to children as young as they see fit if that child simply nods up and down or says yes, which the child has no idea the background of these vaccines. They have no idea they have aborted fetal tissue. The child doesn't know if they have allergies to these vaccines. It doesn't matter, though, to the all-powerful state as they're trying to force these on everybody. And again, I don't care if you're pro-vaccine. I don't care if you're anti-vaccine. I don't care if you're libertarian in the middle of vaccine. The state never has the right to forcibly inject something into your child without your consent. Just remember that. So I encourage everybody to make sure you contact your legislation starting tomorrow, your representatives, and tell them absolutely no in Virginia on SB 104, Dad.
You know, last night it was interesting. You know, Kendall, your daughter, we were all having our New Year's Eve dinner here at the house, and she had her thumb in her mouth, and she's like to be 2 years old, like in January, and Lana,
your wife said, Kendall, you know, where's your thumb? And Kendall got all embarrassed, and she kind of put her head down and hid behind her hands, like, you know, kids like to do, like, you can't see me because I can't see you. And I felt so bad for her. I thought, you know what, I'm just going to pick her up and hold her for a minute. Now, she wasn't crying, and she didn't get spanked or anything silly like that. But she just, you know, how kids are. They get embarrassed. And I picked her up, and I put her on up his shoulder, and I was holding her and talking to her. And then we got to go outside and walk around some. And, you know, Austin was with me. And then we came back in a few minutes later. She's fine. She's fine. And she's running around having fun. Okay? Little kids are in a state of brainwave state. They're in a dreamlike trance until they're around 7 years of age. In other words, they really don't know what's going on. You know, they think they can hide behind their hands, or they think they're really Iron Man, or they think they can really fly, or they think that if they put a mask on, you can't see them anymore. I mean, or they put a mask on and they become, you know, Iron Man, or, you know, or Captain America. That's really what they believe. Or they believe they put a little princess outfit on, they're a princess. And see, to go and take a child in a theta brainwave state and say to them when they're 5 or 6 years old or in kindergarten or first grade, oh, by the way, these are really good for you. All the other kids have had one. Would you like to have a shot today? Okay. That's how they are. They don't have concrete, rational thought. They can't come in and say, oh, I'm not hiding behind my hands right now. I can see you. I understand that has aborted fetal cells in it, and it contains aluminum. They don't know that. I don't even know what aluminum is. And that's the trick of these clowns. And that's how they circumvent your approval as a parent. They ask the 5-year-old, or they say to the 12-year-old, you want to go on birth control pills? Sure, why not? Or the 14-year-old, well, would you like to have an abortion? Not think you got pregnant. Oh, okay. Don't talk to the parents. No, don't talk to the parents. You know, they don't want you doing that. They don't want the parents to be involved. You know, it's so funny. The other day, I was up in Asheville with one the other day, it's a couple months ago. And there was a college recruiting class coming in. I mean, they were the recruiters to try to get kids to sign up for more student debt and student loans and start this college local there in Asheville. And I'll never forget it. The group of teachers and recruiters were there, and they said, look, you've got to get to the kids and get them to sign up before the parents get involved. I heard them say that. They said that. Because the parents are going to say, you know, what about going to, you know, junior college? What about going to a Polk State college, about a local college? What about getting into collegiate high school and not going into debt? Why in the world do they want to talk to the kids before the parents talk to them? Why? Because kids are not emotionally mature. Most kids don't ever reach the age of concrete rational thought, even as adults. And very rarely does anyone ever reach the age of concrete rational thought before the age of 22, 23, 24. I was about 23 when I hit concrete rational thought. Hence, I quickly committed my life to Christ because I had had enough of the real world, of the sick world, this perverted world that we lived in and still live in. And so we need to understand that children can't be taken advantage of, and teenagers shouldn't be taken advantage of. I mean, they start giving kids credit cards at the age of 18. As soon as they start instantly giving credit cards, program to get in debt, program to get in debt, sign these credit. And a lot of people are using student loans like to pay for their wedding. Yeah, their wedding. I found that out from Harrison the other day. They get married. They're going to get married in college, and they've got student loans. Well, we got a $40,000 student loan we can use this year and pay for the wedding. Wait a minute. Where are the parents in these conversations? Why are they not talking to their mom and dad about this stuff and making decisions based upon facts and reality? Like, you got to pay the note back. Can't bankrupt it. It doesn't matter if you don't have a job. If you don't pay your doggone student loan, they're going to come after you and start taking your stuff. You end up throwing you in jail if you violate a court order from a judge who issues a court order about a student loan as far as your appearance in court. You don't understand. When you sign these loans, see, let me explain something to you. When you sign a student loan and you're 18 years old, you think it's just kind of fun and games. The bankers who wrote those student loans, they don't think it's fun and games. They think you just signed a contract, okay? And they want to make sure you listen to them. By the way, one real quick thing here, columnists. This is unbelievable. It's in Breitbart. I got it posted on the Health Masters news site. Columnist. It is terrifying. It is terrifying that parishioners were armed in the Texas church. Wait a minute. I read that twice this morning. I said, that must be a mistake. No, a columnist writing in the AZ Central suggested it was terrifying that parishioners were armed in a church in White Settlement, Texas. Wait a minute. What was the alternative here? you know, just not to be armed and have yourself at the mercy of a guy with a shotgun? You know, I tell you something, guys. Here's how this works. Say, I'm a black belt in Taekwondo, in Aikido, in Jiu-Jitsu, and all the other martial arts. Some guy walks into the room. He's 25 feet away, and he's got a 12-gauge shotgun with 10 rounds in it with double-lock buck. You're about 20 feet away. You can't get close to him. There's a real high probability you need to run. Okay, you don't need to sit there and try to show everybody your martial arts moves. You need to get out of the way. That's the problem with this. That's what's so silly. You can't bring a knife to a gunfight. When a guy walks in who's a criminal, who could be under MK Ultra, we don't know, in a trench coat with a wig and a beard, there's a high probability he's up to no good. You know, what's under the trench coat? I mean, what the heck, man? Really, a trench coat? And see, this is the problem that we have with the left. They step away from reality. And the problem is, guys, it's like somebody dropped them on their head or kicked them upside the head when they were little kids. Something happened to them. And they really believe this rhetoric. I mean, and then when you ask them, well, what were they supposed to do? Well, they should have laid down and urinated on themselves and made it disgusting so the guy wouldn't want to shoot them. And you say, well, did you just say that? Guys, this is what they say. You're being raped. You need to use the bathroom on yourself to make it disgusting for the guy raping you. No, here's what happens. The guy walks up to you, and you're a girl, and you get slapped, and you know he's going to rape you, and he throws you on the ground. You reach in your pocket. You reach in your concealed band. You reach wherever you want to, and you do a Zimmerman on him. Yeah, that's what you do. You take care of that recidivism maggot to start with and get rid of him. I mean, any guy who wants to rape a woman like that needs to be shot. You know, it blows my mind. Here in Italy, some guy was he's an Italian. This came up on Breitbart today. And he killed two robbers who were threatening to murder his wife. And turns out that these guys came into the store with a gun. They were going to shoot and kill everybody. He pulls a gun out. He shoots them. Come to find out, the gun they pulled wasn't a real weapon. Like, he was supposed to know that. It was a fake gun, like a movie set gun. So they're putting him in jail for 13 years now because he defended himself against two robbers who came in to steal, rob, and kill and destroy. And now, this happened like 10 or 12 years ago. It's been in courts forever. And now he said, this is ridiculous. Now I got to go to jail for 13 years. It's not like this hasn't taken my entire life over for the past decade. Now they're going to put me in jail for the next 13 years. Where is the right of the victim in this? I mean, maybe somebody, and now he's had to pay restitution to the people he shot, too, on top of everything else. I mean, to the families. And you think, wait a minute, none of this makes any sense. And then he begins to realize that the same group of people that are running the planet through their snake god and their snake worship, the guys who took down Building 7, the guys that Jesus said in the book of John has said that they basically run the planet, that I just read to you, I gave you the scripture. It's the same, these are the clowns that Jesus called out. He said their father was Lucifer. He says, you're the children of the devil. And they said, not us. We're the children of Abraham. He goes, man. Your daddy's the devil. I know what you did last night. He didn't say that, but that's what I'm paraphrasing. He says, I know what you did last night. And it's, I'm just paraphrasing. Just don't get all mad at me. And he goes, he knew that they were still doing the Babylonian worship. He knew they were doing all kinds of weird stuff and all their stuff they were carrying in from the Druid religion and in Isis and Egypt and the Canaanite religions and Baal and Moloch. I mean, shoot, that's why the doggone Israelites were scattered and the doggone temple were destroyed because of their never-ending worship of idols. You say, well, that's anti-Semitic. No, it's not. It's just the Old Testament. It is what it is. And, I can't really say as I blame them for not wanting to use that and to rewrite the Bible in the Talmud. But when they start getting to things like the Zohar, that just goes off the deep end. And we did a whole show on that a few months ago, or for you, I've been about a month ago now. But guys, think about this for a second. Don't allow yourself to be, brainwashed into believing all of this rhetoric. Guy says, I can't believe they defended themselves and they didn't allow a mass murderer to come in and kill everybody in the congregation. I can't believe they were armed. What is wrong with you? Ugh, Austin, what do you think?
Well, any of the communist movement, that is the mantra of the communist movement, because communism does not allow the populace that's being ruled over to be armed, because that populace can say, no, we're not going to consent to that. I mean, China did a big expose on the shooting on Monday on what was called the Global Times, if anybody saw that. And basically, China's state-run media, Global Times, on Monday used the weekend shooting to argue that gun ownership in the United States is out of control in the United States, and that mass shootings are shocking in the United States that's allegedly governed by law. I don't even know what to say about that, because remember, this is what I talked about at the beginning of the week with the whole incident with the shooting. It didn't follow the narrative. The individual that came into the church was a multi-felon, been arrested numerous times, was not even allowed to own a firearm, probably stole that gun or bought it basically from some other felon that had it buried in his backyard. So right then and there, it was already an illegal felony for him to even be in possession of a firearm, period. Even if he's walking around outside minding his own business, he is a convicted felon multiple times. He cannot own a firearm. But the definition of criminal specifically basically discusses the aspect that a criminal doesn't follow the law. So obviously being a felon didn't apply to him in his own mind, because he didn't care because he was a criminal, and hence why he wanted to go kill somebody in premeditated murder. Why? Because he was a criminal. It's already illegal to kill somebody. It's already illegal to do premeditated murder. That's all illegal. This guy didn't care about that. What they did care about in the church is the fact that they needed an armed populace, and they handled the situation the best they possibly could, and two people died, and that was horrific. That was horrible. That entire church will never be the same again, because that man decided to come in there and commit a violent crime against two individuals. They'll never be the same. But the fact that there was somebody in there that was alert and fast enough on the draw that was able to shoot him before he could rack off two or three or four more rounds, however many more rounds he had in the tube, that prevented, instead of, you know, two people got killed, it would have been probably six people would have got killed. But again, the communist agenda doesn't want people being able to defend themselves. Here's an excerpt that they said in the article. And I quote, this is what it says. The U.S. acts as the world's guard, but turns a blind eye to its own human rights deficit. People are forced to get used to a U.S. where both modern and barbaric elements entangle in a weird way. Everyone must accept the risk that a shooting may occur at any time, anywhere. Yes, you do. And that's not in the U.S. either, not just the U.S. That's anywhere in the world. Anywhere you go at some point in time, whether it's a shooting or a knifing or a beating, or in Europe, U.K. now, they like the machete people because of the massive Muslim invasion. I mean, which one do you want to deal with? Would you rather have somebody hack you to death with a machete or shoot you? Is this what they're telling now? Oh, well, gunshots worse than getting your head lopped off with a machete. Really? They both are equally horrible. But you're saying that's okay in the UK, they should be used to that, but oh, we have to deal with firearms in the United States. No, this is because we don't follow the New World Order mantra of disarmament, which is exactly what they're pushing and trying to shove down everybody's throats in the US. This is all conditioning, classical conditioning. They're trying to get people continually used to being scared of firearms. That's why I told you before. This is why they're arresting children in some cases in schools, and in some cases, you know, detaining them or suspending them for doing things like pointing a finger gun, you know, your index finger and your thumb, as cops and robbers. We've all seen the instance before, because they're trying to condition the children to believing all firearms are absolutely horrific all the time. The only people that can have firearms are military and police, that they're there to protect you, except when they're not there to protect you any longer, and they're there to shoot you or detain you. And if you say, oh, they would never do that, man, you need to talk to Randy Weaver about that. I mean, if that's not the case, talk to his wife, who's been dead for almost, what, 25 years now, who took a 308 through the skull while she was holding her child on the front porch of her house by an FBI FBI agent who was cleared of all wrongdoing and was actually promoted to another position after he murdered her. Oh, that's right. The government would never do that. They're always here to protect you. They would never do anything bad. Oh, say that to the 76 women and children that burned to death in the Waco compound because, oh, ATF and the FBI and the National Guard all can't figure out how they ignited a propane tank in the middle of the doggone compound accidentally after sieging it for 52 days. Oh, yeah, well, they'd never do that. They'd never do that to anybody. Oh, no, they're here to help protect. Yeah, okay. Okay. That is why the Chinese government, the communist Chinese government, does not want the populace armed. And on top of that, China is massively buying up property all around this country. A lot of people know that. They bought most of California. They buy in New Mexico. They buy in Arizona. They're buying a property everywhere. Once China decides they want to start pushing their communist model in the United States, and once there's enough Chinese over here and they want to start pushing their big brother CCTV, you know, their whole social credit score system on the American populace, they don't want anybody being armed. They don't want anybody being able to say no. They don't want anybody being able to apply a form consent. They want people to say, well, we don't like it, but we have to deal with it because there's nothing we can do about it. That's what they want to do. Also, too, in other news, just updating everybody. So, I mean, people have been seeing what's going on. I'm sure in the embassy, I had to bring this up over here. Another 100 Marines got deployed yesterday, as you guys saw that, to hold the embassy down. Now, apparently, we've gotten notice from military.com that they have dropped in another 500 U.S. paratroopers into Kuwait, and another 4,000 paratroopers that are basically on the deployment ready brigade have been put on standby to basically deploy as soon as they need them. As you guys remember, we already sent 14,000 troops over to the Gulf region back in May on concerns of this whole incident. I'm not going to get into Iran, Iraq, Israel, whole shenanigans on that. I already told you guys yesterday there's some weird stuff going over there and we're being lied to. However, one thing I do have to say is it is extremely important that we never allow an incident like Benghazi to happen again, simply because that was horrific, even to the personnel that was there. I don't know all the backgrounds. I don't believe we're getting told the entire truth on this incident, but we cannot allow Benghazi to have a 2.0 in the Iraq embassy over there. So sending in Marines, that's absolutely necessary. 100 Marines. They also, I saw it earlier today, they also have a doggone multiple Apache gunships circling the embassy right now. They're going to make sure that we don't have another Islamic raid, whether they're funded by ISIS or the CIA or whatever the false flag narrative is. I don't know. But Benghazi was an atrocity. And so apparently they're not going to allow that to happen in Iraq. And for that, I do have to say I am in agreement with. Now, if this turns into a massive conflict with Iran, not supportive of that at all, but we do have to maintain law and order in U.S. embassies in countries that we've decided to take over because of oil banking reserves, and now we kind of own those countries, so we do have to display some sort of control over a U.S. embassy in that country. That's pretty much my stance on that, but yes, it is heated over there. I don't think we're being told the entire truth, but we are sending enough troops in there to make sure Benghazi 2.0 doesn't happen again, Deb.
Well, you're right. But, you know, to me, it would be easier just to get the embassy and pull it out and be done with it. Let these guys work it out on their own instead of trying to police the world. In fact, Iran is slamming the U.S. audacity to blame it on Baghdad for the embassy storming. Got these articles posted at healthmasters.com. Iran is, of course, denying all involvement in it and saying you got a bunch of radicals over there, probably CIA-funded, to be honest with you guys, that are starting all of this stuff. And now they're trying to start another war between Magog and Gog and the whole Middle East mess over there as we go in and defend Israel's interests again. Oops, I did say that again. Oh, by the way, Zero Hedge is saying that the Baltic Dry tumbles the most since 2008 as tariff front-running fades. The Baltic Exchange main sea freight index has plunged to its lowest levels in 6 months as world trade continues to fade amid signs of the so-called front-loading effect ahead of tariff deadlines is starting to wane. So we're having some pretty big turndown as far as in production. The U.S. durable goods orders unexpectedly plunged as world peace breaks out. In fact, a lot of the military armament sales are way, way down. And signs are swirling all around us that a monetary reset is at hand. Again, that article is also posted. And Steve Mnuchin is basically interviewed, wanting to know where all the money is going. He's saying that people are actually hoarding dollars and $100 bills, and there's $1.5 trillion in $100 bills have been disappeared because people got tired of negative interest rates in their bank accounts, and they just take it in cash and stick it in the safety deposit box so they don't lose money on their investments. And the Secretary General of the United Nations, a Rothschild-controlled organization, again, they like to really kind of brush up the Rothschilds are the boys who like to, you know, worship the snake. The Secretary General of the UN, being controlled by the Rothschilds, says the United Nations must embrace blockchain currency because that way we won't have a problem again with running out of currency.
There you go.
Put as much as they want out there digitally. Yeah, that's where this is all going, guys. The New World Order operate, you know, the United Nations 2030 deadline, guys, is where they want to put us in. You know, and they want to get rid of all of us carbon-breathing and basing units. Heaven forbid we actually breathe air. Guys, I love you. Wow, what a January 1st show. Great show today. Hope you guys enjoyed it. Hope you got some stuff out of the pork and out of the scripture. I know you did out of the scripture. I love you guys. I got to pray for you today. Got to hang out with you today. You guys are absolutely awesome. And I tell you what, guys, every time I get to be here with you guys on the show, I feel like I'm sitting around having a fireside chat with you. You guys are awesome. I love you, and I will continue to pray for you. Thank you for your support of Health Masters. We've got a big coupon code out there right now. Austin will talk about it. I love you guys, and I'll talk to you tomorrow. Austin, it's all yours.
Absolutely, bud. Yes, we got the coupon code New Year out right now. Basically, 5% off all regular price products on the website. And it's New Year, so no spaces, nothing, just N-E-W-Y-E-A-R. Try to make it as simple as possible so people don't get confused and send me hateful emails that it didn't work. I can't make it any clearer than that. New Year, no spaces, one whole word, no numbers, no nothing. Doesn't matter if it's capitalized or lowercase, but that's 5% off everything on regular price products, store-wide, Purple Stigs, whatnot, whatever it is. Buy it up. We want to make sure everybody has adequate supplements right now starting the new year. Getting into the new year, and you know, just work. A lot of times people start, you know, New Year's resolutions, whatever. You can do whatever you want to do with it, but don't just make it a New Year's resolution. Make it a year-long resolution that you continue to do as a lifestyle change, like simply changing your diet slightly, maybe reducing inflammatory foods, maybe starting on a couple base supplements like the magnesium or like the Ultimate Multiple, and just slowly making changes, getting back in the gym, or even just exercising in your house or outdoors a couple times a week, and just continually to better yourself and try to progress forward. That's what I always tell people, is you have to continually progress. You have to try to continually grow. And I don't mean just physically, but I mean mentally, spiritually, everything. You don't want to get stagnant. So set goals, write them down, write down your goals for this year, write down your goals for next year, and write down what you want to change or what you want to grow or what you want to achieve, and put it down on paper. And look at it somewhere, like put it on your fridge. You see it every single day, and you go towards that goal. Writing down goals is one of the most important, one of the most beneficial things I've ever done in my life when it comes to growing and pushing forward. So, again, thank you for the support of HealthMasters.com. Let us know if you need anything. We'd probably be shutting down of halfway, midway today, simply because nothing's getting picked up and none of the UPS isn't open, USPS isn't open. So again, if you need anything, feel free to give us a call. If we're not open, give us a call up tomorrow. And again, thank you for the support of HealthMasters.com. Have a blessed, safe, awesome new year, new decade. Have a wonderful night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow as always. On Facebook.